Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Sarah. Welcome to What You Read Next podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Let's see. So I'm a contemporary romance writer, and I just had my debut novel, The Tourist Attraction, come out on May 5th. So I'm pretty excited.
I am so excited to talk to you because I absolutely adore Tourist Attraction. It was like perfect setting in Alaska, grumpy hero, tourist trap, and maze.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun to write it.
I can imagine. So what inspired you to become a writer?
Well, so I was one of those kids that when I was supposed to be paying attention in class, I was actually writing stories in my notebook. And I always liked to write, but I didn't actually start actively writing a whole bunch until I was in college and discovered fan fiction, which when you're a broke college kid, that is free. And so I wrote a lot of fan fiction and read a lot of fan fiction in college. I did that for about, 10, 12 years, a long time. And then only about 4 years ago did I actively try to start becoming a published author and, write original work.
So talk to me about fan fiction. What kind of fan fiction did you read and what kind of fan fiction did you write?
Well, I've got my Ninja Turtle mugs here. So I love Ninja Turtle. Everything from C.S. Lewis to Twilight to anime to Ninja Turtles. I mean, I had my little fingers in everything. The Darkest Rising series, like literally I was writing whatever I could get my hands on.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So... it was fun. I'm a big, big fan of fan fiction.
I'm so glad. It's a medium that I found every so often whenever I read a book and I'm like, I need more of this book. It's like, that's where I go to. It's like, I go to fan fiction to just kind of like satiate the monster.
Exactly. Like with Twilight, I love werewolf stuff. Werewolf stuff is one of my favorite things. And so she just didn't go nearly in depth on that to make me happy. So I just read as much as I could over there and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Love it. So what was your journey to get your first book published?
So about 4 years ago, when I decided to make the switch from fan fiction to original writing, I put a manuscript, my first original story, into the Golden Heart, 2015 Golden Heart, and it finaled in that. And then I wrote my second manuscript, and that went to, I put it in a chapter contest, an RWA chapter contest. Mm-hmm. And the judges for that was, one of them is my agent right now. Mm. And that's how I met my agent, was through this writing contest. And the editor, the judging editor, ended up being, she liked the voice. The book wasn't the right match, but she liked the voice. And then so we pitched her a third manuscript, and that's the one that ended up being The Tourist Attraction.
Gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your writing. Do you follow that one or see where the story leads you?
I am a pantser. With a plotter versus pantser, I am pantser all the way. I usually know the location the book is set in, and I might maybe know 2 to 3 things that happen, and that's it. So I will just sit down and write whatever comes into my head that day and try to hit my word count for what I want. And then the next day sit down. And by the time I'm done, I usually have, I call it a Franken book. It's like a Frankenstein book. And then I have to kind of, the editing process is a lot more lengthy when you do it that way. but mm-hmm. that's how my brain puts a book together.
I love it. So you're like revision. The revision is what makes the book kind of like just come together.
Yeah. And two, I don't write the beginning of the book until the very end.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's interesting.
Because I kind of feel like when you write the beginning of a book, you should really know who these characters are. And when you don't plot a book, when you just write it by the seat of your pants, you don't always know who everyone is going into it. So mm-hmm. if I just write what feels like what I feel like writing that day, then I get to know the characters, and then I can go back and I can write a much stronger beginning because I know who they are at that point.
Fascinating. So, all right. So how do you organize yourself as a writer? How do you keep track of your ideas, inspirations, and characters?
I am terrible at organizing myself and my life and all of that. So I'm one of those people that I buy a planner every year and I never once use it. I just have it say I have a planner.
Yeah.
which is why I love my copy editor for this series. They are awesome and yeah. my mistakes. But mostly what I do is I write and then I do a lot of double checking with previous manuscripts to make sure that I didn't mess up the name of a coffee shop or I didn't mess up like the name of somebody's mom's name or the big details. I usually don't have trouble remembering. It's sometimes the little ones that I have to double check.
Yeah, I can imagine. So do you share your work along the way? Do you wait till it's completed for others to see?
I have a couple really, really good CPs, critique partners that I show the manuscript to when it's in parts, but I like to get through my first rough draft because it's a pantsed book. Mm-hmm. It tends to not make a lot of sense until I've done the first draft and then at least revised it once. Okay. So once I hit that point, then I'll send it out to a couple of critique partners that I have to look at it. One of the things I like to do is my husband loves books too. Mm-hmm. So we travel a lot. We drive around a lot. So what I'll do is I will tell him story ideas and we'll just like talk about plot bunnies and we'll, you know, sometimes if I'm trying to do a polish on a scene, I'll read it out loud while we're driving. And so I share it with him a lot and pick his brain to see if he's got any good ideas. But mostly it's just a couple people and him. And sometimes my mom. I'll share it with my mom.
I love it. I love asking this question because every author has his own unique path. And so some authors have critique partners that I've been working with, or they have beta readers, so they make sure to the family. And it's like such a unique process because it's such a lonely, you know, process just to write a book and just, you know, it's a lonely path. And then be like, you know, am I going to keep it close to my chest or am I just going to spread it around?
Right. Yeah. Well, and I am a lot more organized about the writing, like when I know that I'm on deadline or if I just want a book done by a certain point, I am really good about regimenting myself and saying, okay, I'm going to write 6 days a week. I'm going to write between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. and I'm going to get 2,000 words. Mm-hmm. And if I do that, then most days I will get that accomplished. Mm-hmm. 2,000 words is kind of a lot for that time period, but like say 3 hours to 2,000 words. In that sense, I can be very organized about making myself write. Mm-hmm. But the actual book itself is usually a hot mess until it isn't.
I thought, yeah. All right. So let's talk about Tourist Attraction. What was the source of inspiration?
I was actually in Alaska doing research for a different book I was writing.
Okay.
And the fun thing about that is it's kind of a tax deductible vacation when you're doing research. So when we were up there, I was with a friend and we were going on these excursions, like four-wheeling adventures and whale watching. And it seemed like everything we were doing, as fun as it was like this series of just funny events as things went awry and like didn't go the way that they were supposed to go. And we were just laughing this whole time. And I was like, this would actually be a really, really great setting for a contemporary romance. And then as it became more, you know, comedic as we were there, I'm like, well, this might make a good rom-com.
Mm-hmm. It does. It, I actually love Zoe's like basically trip of a lifetime where she's like, is disappointing. Right. You know? And you're like, well, watching is like the crazy thing that's happened. Well, watching,
I know. You know? And her whale watching actually went better than my whale watching. When we were out there, we basically saw like in very, very far in the distance, like a little bit of a tail that might have been a whale's tail. There was,
oh my God.
Yeah, I don't have any photos of whales from our whale watching. There was some really, there was some cute little dolphins. And so the dolphins that show up, they actually showed up in my whale watching, but it was still fun. It was still beautiful.
So did everyone vomit in the whale watching?
No.
Okay.
No, but the funny thing about that was, my friend's going to be mad if I tell the story, but she took the wrong kind of the stuff that makes you not sick. She said,
yeah.
She took the drowsy one.
Oh,
and so
no.
She was like, she was half asleep for part of it. And the water was really rough and people were getting sick. No one was, you know, not to tell everyone that scene that happens, but there is some seasickness happens around Zoe and Graham. And it was not that bad. But they did warn us. They did say, if you start getting sick and you go into the bathroom and you close the door and shut it, we can't get you out. The whole boat has to go home. So they pushed everybody to make sure you didn't get too seasick on the boat.
Gosh. That's crazy.
Right?
Oh, my God. I don't know if I can do this, like, honestly.
It definitely was not what you picture the whale watching to be, because you go through all this really, really rough water to get there, and it was really fun, but it was yeah. Comedic, and
yes.
Not a lot of whales.
Yeah, awesome. So why slide this book into reluctant tourist town in Alaska?
So one of the things that my family does is we travel a whole lot. I'm a writer, so that's what I do for my job. And then my husband's job requires us to travel a lot. So we are constantly in new places, and we're constantly in like small towns that, you know, aren't used to having new people around. And so it's always this kind of this interesting thing, especially if you go to a town that's kind of touristy, mm-hmm. and watching people, you know, to see if they really want you there. And a lot of times everyone's very friendly, but you can tell if they've been over touristed.
Mm-hmm.
And like lately we were in Colorado, and you could tell that Colorado was over touristed. You could tell the locals were a little exhausted with the mm-hmm. people that were there. And when I was up in Alaska, we were doing these excursions, and one of the stores we stopped at, I probably shouldn't even tell this story, but I went to use the bathroom, and the toilet wouldn't flush. And I was super embarrassed, and I came out and I said, I'm very sorry, your toilet won't flush. And this woman that was running the store, she just sighed, this massive sigh, like, oh, tourists. And I felt really bad. I'm like, I'm sorry. And then I go outside and I think, how frustrating must that be to have your business depend on tourism, mm-hmm. and to just be so annoyed with these tourists.
Mm-hmm.
And so a toilet that wouldn't flush is why I wrote this book. I mean, it's and that is way too much information, and I'm sorry for everyone listening to this podcast, but
I love it. Yeah, I actually grew up in the tourist town. And so as you mentioned that, I was like, yes, I can totally identify with the tourists coming in. Like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I grew up in Puerto Rico. I grew up basically right off the airport. So,
okay.
And so all the tourists are English speaking, and Puerto Rico is Spanish speaking. So there's expectation mm-hmm. that like, you should speak English to them. And you're like, I don't want to speak English to you.
Yes.
Yes. I don't want you.
Well, and just like this, the whole, like, it's, you know, for the tourists, they get there and it's this you know, awesome experience to be there. But for the locals, it's like this never-ending cycle of new person after new person after new person after new person. And that's where, in the first attraction, the hero is just, he's exhausted. He doesn't want any more new people coming into his life. He wants his town to be his little town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about the hero and his diner, because his diner does really well on Yelp, but his service, his customer service is like terrible.
It's terrible. Oh yeah. There are restaurants out there that the servers are really rude to you. And like, that's, I can't remember any of the names of them, but, and that's not the kind of place I would like to go, because like, I would get very anxious about somebody hating the fact I was there. But but they think it's this joke that he doesn't want them there. So he the meaner he is to them, the more the customers think, ha ha ha, this is funny. They say on Yelp that he's going to be like this. And then so they think it's part of this experience of being at the tourist trap. And instead it's legitimately Graham trying to get them to leave because he doesn't want to do this job.
Yeah, I absolutely adore it for that reason, because he was honest. He was like, I don't want to do this job. You know why you're here, why they have karaoke, why like I don't want to work in between shifts, like, you know, mm-hmm. And the line, like, people will still go, like, there's a line just to get there.
Well, and my family had a restaurant for a couple of years, and it takes so much work to run a restaurant. And so I was thinking, how would you like try to self-sabotage? Mm-hmm. And I was like, what's the worst way you can run a business? And that's the things he does. And despite himself, he's successful.
Yes. I love this. So here's the thing. So Graham hates tourists, but then he meets Zoe, and it's like, I don't know, instant attraction, just kind of like an affinity towards her. And he becomes kind of like a different character for her than for the rest of the world. And it's hard to comprehend the whole shit that happens. You know, why was Zoe the one to break the spell, the tourist spell?
Well, so Moose Springs, Alaska, is set up as this town that a whole bunch of very, very wealthy, like uber wealthy tourists come. And Graham just wants it to be this small little rural town. Mm-hmm. And so part of the people that are constantly in there are very, very wealthy people. And so when Zoe walks in, Zoe is normal. Zoe is, you know, a small town waitress from outside of Chicago. And she's just, you know, she's wearing a Mickey Mouse sweatshirit that I patterned it after one that I wear when I travel because it's comfortable. And she's jet lagged and she's tired and she's excited to be there. And she's normal. And that's what appeals to him. Mm. It's not something big and over the top walking through his door, because that's not the life he wants. The life he wants is just, I don't have a better way of putting it. I guess I just wanted the reader to feel like they could be Zoe. They could be walking into this place, just no matter where they're at in their life right now, they could take this trip to Alaska and they could be in this diner.
Yeah, I love it. I love Zoe as a character. Like, she came in, like, just kind of, like, honest, and somehow everyone was, like, sure of their feelings and how things are going to her. Like, she had an openness about herself and a vulnerability and an excitement about being in Alaska that just felt contagious. Like, I was like, you know, I'm excited for her. She's been saving all this time to come for this trip. And then, you know, disappointment after disappointment is kind of, like, funny. But she'll look back to this memory as, you know, the fun disappointment, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the thing, too, about when you want to go someplace so, so bad, and you finally get there, and sometimes your expectations are too high. Mm-hmm. And, like, you have it kind of built up in your head, I'm going to have this perfect vacation. And, you know, but sometimes what is perfect and beautiful and wonderful about being somewhere is just kind of experiencing it a little more organically. and not having like this regimented list of this is what I'm going to do and it's going to be fabulously fun.
Yep.
Yeah. Sometimes it is and sometimes it's not.
Yeah, I agree. So Sarah Ulysses, the Moose, who is a fun side character, how much research did you conduct to get the Moose scene right?
Well, when I was up there, there was a lot of talking about how dangerous the moose were. Okay. And a lot of talking about, you know, stay away from the moose, don't try to feed the moose, don't try to pet the moose. And yet everywhere you'd go, there would be people doing this. And mm-hmm. it's not just moose. Like when we were in Colorado, the elk up in the Estes Park area, I don't know if you've ever been in that area. It's just, it's beautiful and it's a very tourist trap type area. And everyone wants to pet the elk and everyone gets run over and attacked by the elk at some point. And it's just so dangerous. But then you have the next person wanting to take a selfie with the elk behind them or the moose behind them. And I think for a character like Graham, what he loves animals. He likes animals a whole lot more than people. And so, and it's not just his dog. It's like all animals he loves. And he's aware of the fact that if a human messes up and they get hurt by a moose, the moose is the, obviously, you know, no one wants anybody to get hurt, but you know, the moose is going to be in a lot of trouble for hurting mm-hmm. somebody. And that's where Ulysses comes in. And Ulysses is almost like this, oh, I can't think of the right word for it. He's just like the shining example of what Graham loves and why having tourism in the town messes up what he loves, because mm-hmm. it puts something he loves in danger. Mm-hmm. Every time somebody sees Ulysses and wants to take a selfie with him or put their kids near him, it, mm-hmm. it puts something he loves in danger.
Yeah, and let's talk about Jake, which is like, so Graham like dresses him up, like takes him everywhere, like, you know, was this a source of inspiration for Jake, or was it just like, we just need to, you know, give him like a pet?
Well, we have a dog, her name is Sam. Sam loves clothing. She's a little rescue pit bull who, if you put her in a sweater, she just loses her mind because it makes her so happy that she's in a sweater. And we take her everywhere with us. So I love dogs. With Jake, I thought it was kind of funny to, because it's rom-com, and you know, I thought it was just kind of funny, like here's this gruff, like grumpy guy who insists on making sure his dog has its favorite pajamas. Mm-hmm. Like, and I told you I like Ninja Turtles. So one of his favorites is his Ninja Turtle pajamas. And just, you know, the matching clothes and that kind of thing. I just thought it was kind of a cute character quirk too.
Yeah. Yeah, it just brought some development to the character, and like you're just like, okay, and he dressed up his dog, so yeah. It's kind of cute, and the bling moment, you know, mm-hmm.
who blings somebody else's fur baby?
Yes, so awesome. So the next question, I got a Patreon group where we talk about romance, and so some of my patrons actually asked some questions, and so I had one patron ask a question for you. Okay. Her question is, so neither character has a college degree, Graham dropped out, so he never went to college, and so he's pretty happy and content with being the waitress. There's minimal internal shaming about these things, particularly with Zoe. Did you make a conscious choice to write them like this, or was just something that felt right for them?
I don't think it was a conscious choice with the college education so much as it was I do have a college degree. I went to Cal State Fullerton for chemistry, and then I also have a BS in environmental geology. So I've done the whole college track. Mm-hmm. But we also, a lot of the people that we travel with and that we work with, they have a trade. And so I think that there's so much pressure that's put on people to go to college when it's, for me, it's almost like what's more important is, do you have a trade that can support you? And that trade, you know, anywhere from being a plumber to being a scientist. I mean, just, it doesn't, you don't have to go to college. As long as you know you have something that you are good at and hopefully something that you love. And with Zoe, she is very, very good at being a waitress. She does well for herself. And she is proud of that career, as she should be. Now, when she goes to Alaska, she realizes that she wants to be more involved with the wildlife, and she wants to be, because she falls in love with the place. And it's, and with Graham, he is very good at his trade of working in this diner, being a cook. And, but what he really wants to do is work as an artist. And so a lot of the jobs that they want and that they have are trade jobs. And I wouldn't say it was so much deliberate as it's just, I think not everyone goes to college, not everyone, that's not the right path for everybody. And I, honestly, I think that I loved the geology. I wish I hadn't gone to the chemistry. That wasn't the right path for me personally. I love being a writer. That's a better trade for me. So I don't know, did I answer the question?
Yes, you did. I think so. I think it's like, it's really refreshing to see like there's different paths. Like it's not just just one path. And I think there's so much pressure, college, and then you get all this done, and then you're like, you realize you're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Like I went to a college track and I did a master's degree. I did the whole thing. And then I realized it's like, that's not the career I want.
Well, yeah. And so many trade programs, they still have like all these testing and certifications you have to do, you know, culinary, you know, going to culinary school, on the job training. There's just so many different ways to find the job you love. And I think that was more of the theme that I wanted, was, you know, fall in love with a place. Graham was already in love with a place. Fall in love with what you want to do. Graham wanted to be an artist. Zoe wants, you know, she falls in love with Alaska. She wants to be involved with, and we'll see more of that in book two, where she ends up going. But it's just, you know, you can cut out me saying, you know, 15 times if you want to. But it's her finding her happiness in her career and where she wants to go. And
I love it. Yeah. As someone who doesn't find, who finds happiness in other places, it's kind of like refreshing to see, like, you just find happiness in your job and like, it's not a big deal. Like it's not this, it's not this stressful. It's not this like showcase. Like I have to do this. I'm ruining the world. I'm like, no, you just have a job. It pays the bills. You're good at it and you move on. You have this great big life outside of it, which is exciting. So
yeah,
I love it. So what are some of your upcoming projects?
So the second book in the series is called Mistletoe and Mr. Right, and it's her best friend Lana and the local pool hall owner Rick, and they have lots of Christmassy adventures, and it's pretty fun. There's a moose that's determined to destroy the Christmas ornaments in the town. And so as the story is progressing through this Christmas story, and it's really about two very lonely people who find each other around Christmas. And in the backdrop of this is just this moose just running amok, destroying things around the town. and there's a hedgehog in that, so there might be, there's, I like to put little animals into things. And then Graham's best friend, Easton, he gets his book. So that one is finished as well. And that's called Enjoy the View. So I'm taking him up a mountain outside of town. So.
Oh my gosh, I'm excited.
The mountain climbing rom-com.
Oh my gosh, that is so exciting. So now let's go to a round of book recommendations. This is an opportunity for you to share with our audience what they should read next. So what is your favorite genre?
Well, Well, I love contemporary romance, but I love my werewolves. So paranormal romance is a great one too.
Awesome. Who are your favorite authors?
Oh, that one's hard. For rom-com, I love Christina Loren. Anything Patricia Briggs has written, I love her stuff, but particularly some of her paranormal romance, her Alpha and Omega series. I love Scarlett Peckham. Mm-hmm. I love her historicals. She's great. I could list like 20 other authors that are my favorite authors too.
I love it. What are your top three favorite books of all time?
I had to think about this question for a really long time. So I've got three weird ones for you. Into the Air by John Krakauer. I love that book. It's about the disaster that happened on Everest in the 90s. Mm. And Krakauer was one of the climbers up there, and I love mountain climbing books, and I love this story. It's scary, and it's exciting, and it's sad, and it's just great. And then the first of the Mercy Thompson books, by Patricia Briggs, Moon Called. I probably have read that book more times than any other book in my life. I've probably read that book 20, 30 times. I loved it. And my last favorite book is a book called Magician Apprentice by Raymond E. Feist. And I met my husband when I was reading that book, and he got all excited when he saw I was reading that book, and he's like, I've read that book too. And then we started talking. And so I kind of have a little place in my heart for Magician Apprentice, because that's how I had
fun. Oh my God, that's so cute. Oh, so what has been a book that you read this past year that you love?
I just finished an advanced reader copy of You Had Me at Ola by Alexis Daria. And it's so good. It is amazing. So I know that doesn't come out for a couple more months, but that is just an amazing book I read this year.
Yeah, it actually has a representation. Like, I'm from Puerto Rico, so the Puerto Rican representation has done so well. Like, I commend her. So it's so good. Like, the whole telenovela, the Netflix, the intimacy coordinator.
It is done so well. Like, it's just how she shifts back and forth between, and I don't want to give too much away, but just how she shifts back and forth between the telenovelas and the current timeline is just, oh, so good.
Yeah.
I also read a young adult rom-com called Perfect Escape by Suzanne Park.
Yeah.
That was super cute. I really like that.
Oh, this is awesome. Yeah. So tell us where you can find you online.
You can find me at my website, sarahmorgenthaler.com. I spell my last name kind of weird, MorgenThal. Oh, Lordy, I'm not even going to remember how to spell my own name. It's a long one. MorgenThaler. Okay, we got it. you can find me there. I'm on Instagram and Twitter the most. Every once in a while, I will remember that Facebook exists and hop over to my author page over there, but I'm much easier to get a hold of on Instagram and Twitter.
I love it. Thank you, Sarah, for being on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share it with friends and share a review on iTunes. This is the best way to support the show. Once you join the Romance Loving community, make new friends, and get book recommendations, join our Patreon Romance Book Club. For $5 a month, you'll be part of a virtual book club, an Instagram chat, and get monthly book recommendations. Please note I'll be donating 10% of the profit to a COVID-19 relief fund each month. To sign up, just join the link in the show notes. What We Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in a few days with a brand new episode. Have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourreadersblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.